Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This week, we're continuing our look at the book of Hebrews as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
And the recipients of the book of Hebrews is obviously the Hebrew people. And it's just more than the Hebrew people. These were believers, Jewish believers. And it was written, the time frame was before the destruction of the temple in AD 70. So sometime before the destruction of the temple in AD 70, this book was written, because there are some references in chapter 13, chapter 8 and chapter 13 about the temple, about going into the temple. And also, obviously, the temple was still standing at the time that Paul wrote this letter to the Hebrew people. And the reason he wrote the book of Hebrews to these Jewish people, and by the way, just because it wrote it to the Jewish people, the believers, does not mean it doesn't speak to us. Matter of fact, it speaks to us, to Westwood Missionary Baptist Church, as much as any other book. And we're looking at that this morning in verse number 3. That's the key to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verse number 3. But anyway, it's because Jewish believers were caught between Judaism they were coming out of and Christianity, which they had entered into. And they were torn back and forth, and a lot of them were going back into temple worship. And that's why in chapter number 6, verse 1, Paul said, "Now let us go on." Those other ones have went back. They went back to sacrificing those lambs and all, back to the old, because of persecution and the things of the family and all. By the way, we live in a blessed country. We don't fall under the persecution that these people in other countries do. And back then, even so, even in today, whether it's in Israel and in some of the Muslim countries, if somebody claims the name of Christ, they're ostracized from their families. They lose their jobs and all. Just a sideline. When I was in Iraq, this was years ago, after Saddam Hussein fell and we were asked to come into Iraq, and nobody, remember that? Some of y'all old folk that remember this years ago, I was asked to come to start a church there. And so there were some believers there. It's a long story short. I won't tell you. Anyway, nobody wanted to go to Iraq with me. Can you imagine that? I called preachers. I called all kinds of people. And no, we ain't going to Iraq. No more. And so I was going to go by myself. And then a fella, a few days before I left, y'all know him, he'll be here today, Frank Gutierrez, he called. He said, "Preacher, I'm going to go to Iraq with you." I said, "Have you told your wife?" He said, "No, I ain't told Cindy yet." He told her the next day, because he didn't want me to go by myself alone. Anyway, we went, and we met some of the preachers, some of the young preachers there and all. Long story short, when we left, we started a church. It was a wonderful story there, but we'll move on. But they stayed there. They came from one of them was from Iraq, the other one was from Jordan, but they came to kind of minister into that new church. These were young preachers, and they were going to be the pastors. Well, after we left, it wasn't shortly after that, they were kidnapped. And for a month, whoever these guys, terrorists or whatever, had them, because they knew that there were some Americans in that area, and these guys were associated with Americans. And it's funny, but it's not funny. For a month, they were trying to get money out of them, thinking that they would ask us, like a ransom. Yeah. And so the funny part is these guys knew got to know him real. He says, "They ain't got no money." He said, "These are Baptist preachers. It had nothing to do with the government. They thought they were getting all kinds of money and all." But the whole time they were there, they never looked at him in the face. They said if they looked at him in the face the whole time, they were beaten, all this. If they looked at him in the face, they would have killed him, because they could identify him later on. But I'm saying they were under heavy persecution because of that. And after that, they had to go back to Jordan. And a lot going on there. But I'm just saying we're a blessed country because we can meet here freely without people putting a gun to our head. Well, the Jewish people back then, they were people, because of persecution, they were going back. Now, don't be too critical of them. We got a lot of Baptist people that aren't persecuted, and they don't even come to church no more. Amen, preacher. So anyway, so be careful about how you, look at that. So that's why he wrote the book of Hebrews in a nutshell, in a thumbnail sketch, because these people were going back, and he told those other believers, "Now you stay. We got to go on. There's something better than the old way, Judaism, and it's Jesus Christ." So that's the reason he wrote it. The key verse is in Hebrews 1:3, and I mentioned this last week, that this is called, I call it the better book, B-E-T-T-E-R, the better book. Not that it's better than any other 65 books in the Bible, because they're all great books. They're all inspired of God. But the key word in the book of Hebrews, and the theme is better. It's used 13 times. The word better is used in the book of Hebrews. So it is the quote-unquote better book. Jesus was better than the prophets. He was better than the angels. He was better than Moses. And we'll look at this as we go through the study of the book of Hebrews. He's better than Joshua, better than Aaron, better than the priesthood, better than Melchizedek. All of these things. He was better, better, better. And he was trying to tell those Jewish believers, what you have is so much better than what you used to have. Are you following? So that's what the book of Hebrews is all about. And then five things that people asked me about this last week. I went through it quickly, and I should have wrote it down to give it to Greg, and I didn't. I was gone, just no excuse, except I'm just a sorry preacher. Five exhortations of warnings that we have here in the book of Hebrews. If you want to write them down, you can. If not, you can ask me afterwards, and I will give them to you. Number one, the exhortation. Remember, these people, these Jewish believers, they're leaving the Christian faith, so to speak, and going back in Judaism. And the first danger was drifting from the Word. They were drifting from the Word. We see that in chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, about drifting from the Word. Let me give you the first verse. "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." Okay, they begin to drift from the Word. And then there's a danger from doubting His Word. And it's a process. Once you start drifting from God's Word, you begin to doubt God's Word. Kind of like in the Garden of Eden, hath God really said, did God really say that? Okay, so we see in the book of Hebrews, the second warning is doubting God's Word. That's in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. We'll get there later. The third warning is danger from departing from His Word. So there's that drifting. You're starting to slip. Then that's doubting. You begin, I'm wondering if it's really so. And then they depart. Hebrews 6, 4 through 6. And then the fourth warning is after you depart, you begin to despise His Word. Do you know any... Now, I'm going to pick on Baptists because I is one. Do you know any backslidden Baptist? The worst person in the world to be around is a backslidden Baptist, because they know what's right, but they begin to stay away, and they actually begin to despise it because of the Holy Spirit of God is beginning to, convict them of what's right. And they just despise it because they can't get away from it, and they begin to despise it. And then the fifth thing, the danger is denying His Word. Denying His Word. They actually get way out there and act, it's not so, it's not true, we deny it. And by the way, just because they deny it does not mean they lose their salvation. Okay? We believe once saved, always saved. You can't change a fact. And we'll get there to that part a little bit later. So, four was Hebrews 10, 25 through 29. That's where the section where he says, "Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is." So much the more as you see that day approaching. That's that. They were despising His Word. Don't be like them. And then the fifth one was Hebrews 12, 25. Denying His Word. Hebrews chapter 1. I mentioned last week. Let me read the first three verses and we'll get into our study. "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds."
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious Word. Well, from now until tomorrow, May God bless you richly, is our prayer.